My guest today on Piano Jazz is Keith Jarrett, one of the world's greatest pianists. His playing is a combination of unbelievable beauty and improvisations that are mesmerizing in their technical brilliance. We're very fortunate to be with him in his own studio. Boy, I'll say it's wonderful that you let us in here.
Actually, I think it's the first time it's ever been set up this way. It's been used so privately up to now that other than the occasional interview where they want to see the studio, we've not ever really functioned except for occasional recordings.
Well, then, do you come in and do your own thing here when you feel like it?
Yes, I practice here now every day, a couple times a day. And not too long ago, when I was getting over chronic fatigue syndrome, luckily, Melody at Night with You was possible only because I had this next to my house. And I came in here every day for about 20 minutes, and then I would be too tired, because that disease is terribly devastating. So I had set up the mics, which are still standing to my right here, with the awareness that as lacking in energy as I was, there might come a time when I could barely manage to get the piano open and then play something, and the mics should already be there and everything else should be set up. So, but the original reason for this studio was to be the repository of the piano you're sitting at now.
It's a beautiful piano.
It could not live in New Jersey unless it was in a humidity-controlled environment, and our house is very old, so it's
and
not
it's controlled. In a controlled environment?
No.
It's a piano like that. It doesn't stamp its foot and get mad?
It doesn't like... I don't know how it... I don't know what it does at night.
You didn't even ask the poor piano what it liked. So, so many things I want to ask you. Of course, I'm so thankful that you gave me tickets to the Carnegie Hall concert. The thing was so absorbing, and to hear somebody play with such vigor and strength and such beauty, and you did truthfully come out and improvise all that.
Yes, yeah. There was no preparation.
Well, was there preparation in the way of, like, did you think of any ideas or I'm going to start with something up-tempo as opposed to a ballad?
No, not at all. Not as far as subject matter is concerned. In fact, usually if I have an idea, it locks me in its little room and keeps me there if I don't get rid of it before I put my hands on the keyboard. And so one reason that the beginning of the concert, concerts have suddenly begun to start as though I was in the middle of playing already, instead of gradually building something from soft or from, I don't know, germinating something slowly. It occurred to me just before I did the concerts that turned out to be the Radiance CD that that's not the way universes get built anyway. They get built by explosions very often. And then that causes things to, then maybe something slow occurs.
Are you going to play something? You're whetting my appetite with all this wonderful conversation.
Well, I can play something. Yeah.
You could play it. I mean, an improv or improvisation or a standard.
I'll play something that's nothing until I play it. I'll just do something, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
it's amazing how different your Carnegie Hall concert was from Radiance. I felt that the tunes themselves or the improvisations themselves seemed so different. You seemed to be more, I won't say more lively, but less dark things than you seemed in a really...
Well, New York...
Jolly mood.
No, New York was going to be an event. I knew that was true. Whether I was up to it or not, it was already going to be an event.
What did you feel up
so
to?
So I decided that if I was not up to it, then why should they even pay the money to come? And that's always been my feeling. If I don't have anything to give them, even if they're loyal fans, they're not going to get what they've heard before or what they... Not even what they think they want. And often what they get is better, I hope.
Because it's new?
Because I'm more... I know better what I'm not doing and what I am doing. I don't know more about the material I'm going to play, but I have more grasp of the instrument's potential. I've dropped the attitude of wanting the piano never to sound like a piano. I have finally freed my left hand from the jazz. If a jazz pianist decides to play alone, he's been playing more likely than not in a rhythm section for so long that his left hand has become... an appendage of some kind. Yeah, it just does chords or it does vamps or something like that.
That's true.
And the biggest change in my playing came when I realized that in this room we're sitting in. It was during that same time when I was stopping because I would end up playing a chord and saying, I don't even like this sound anymore. And then I'd stop.
But I love those stops, and you know who loved those. Mm. Alec Wilder, I used to go crazy when somebody, you especially, would just stop without making a big ending and saying, now here comes the ending of the piece, I'm just going to... He used to roar with laughter. He thought, well, that was wonderful.
Yeah.
In fact, you recorded a piece of his that I hope...
Blackberry Winter.
Don't you love that piece?
Yes, it's a great... Well, a lot of his pieces were great.
Would you deign to play that for me?
I don't know it well enough, and right now, I don't only forget my own material.
If I played it, would you be annoyed?
No.
Okay, here goes. I read something with those standard albums. The bass player, Gary Peacock, he was kind of dumbfounded that you were going to do standards.
Yes, that's true.
But he surely knew all those tunes.
Well, according to Gary, he just thought either I'm insane or I've got a wonderful idea.
Well, because it turned out you had a wonderful idea.
Well, back in... That era, which would have been the early 80s, everybody was expected to do their own thing.
Right, of course.
So, you get a record contract if you have material that is yours. And it was so passé to do standards that for me, I realized there was this wide open space that no one was occupying. that I thought anybody with as much experience as Gary and Jack DeJohnette could probably just use. And then we wouldn't have to say, this is our music, we're doing our thing. And there wouldn't be that possessiveness that comes from rehearsing. And what I wanted was us to just show up and play and have the playing, which anyway is what jazz is supposed to be about. Like the actual involvement and the expression of each individual player. And when we did our first recording, you might remember God Bless the Child is on there. I remember a review saying that they liked the arrangements. And I remember looking at Gary and Jack and saying, do you remember us having any arrangements?
You probably just got up there and played.
I went to the piano and I played a G octave. Do-do-do. Do-do. Do-do-do. Do-do. And that was it. And then I heard Jack start. Then I heard Gary start. And there was the vamp that we played this song off of. I'll show you exactly how it went down.
Show me.
Now, I'm just making the point, though, that we've never had arrangements. And
not only do you not have arrangements, I never heard a trio do three-way improvisation. That was fantastic that you did that. Forget which record that was.
Oh,
Always Let Me
Go. Always Let Me Go. Do you know how that title came? Do you like the title? Because it's perfect for free playing. I mean,
I love it. I thought it was great.
Well, do you want to hear the story behind that?
Of course.
I was backstage in Paris with the trio just before we played, and we always eat before. So we're eating backstage, and Manfred Acker was there, sitting across from me. He just came in with a friend of his. And he sat down and I said, Manfred, and he has a very, very sharp sense of humor. And he and I had always used to have great times breaking each other up. So I'm backstage in Paris and I'm saying to him, I don't have a title, but I have 80 or 90 things that I don't like. And he said, you remember this piece called Never Let Me Go? What about, and we love this version on the second volume of Standards. What about Always Let Me Go? And I was just having a drink of coffee and I spit it out on the table. It broke me up. I mean, it was the absolute perfect thing.
Listen, I'm getting to where I want to do something. I'd like to try to do sort of a musical portrait of you. Could you go for that?
Sure.
I don't know what it'll be.
That'd be all right.
Here goes. Give it a try. Hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast. Tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.